Broadway's my beat. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, it's a memory and a want that makes a bitter flame inside you. You poke through the ashes and you can't find what it is that was remembered or wanted. So you keep looking. But the blaze of the neon and the spectaculars blinds you. And the roar of steel moving above and beneath the earth makes you deaf. And finally, you know there's no need to search anymore. Because whatever it was, you'll never find it. It's Broadway, my beat. You use the morning hours at police headquarters to tidy up, to dust off the old reports and polish up the new ones. You watch a derelict fly store up a few rays of sun against the time of its winter dying. And then someone opens your door.
Mr. Clover, they told me I could talk to you.
The woman is about 40. Her perfume is expensive. Her furs are expensive. And the black lizard purse with a jeweled clasp that sleeps under her arm looks fat and happy. But in her face and eyes, something frayed, something pinched.
May I sit down? I think I don't feel well.
Of course. Here.
Thank you. Now, don't look so worried, Mr. Clover. I won't faint or anything like that. Not me.
You're sure you're all right? You're quite pale, Miss...
Don't ask me who I am yet. I want to save that. I've heard a lot about you, Mr. Clover.
Oh?
Yes, a lot. They say people can come to you. People like me, if they've got something to say to you.
Maybe it would help if you told me who you were.
Not now. Later. When I've said you my say. A woman can wait only so long, Mr. Clover. You know how it is.
Oh, I don't understand.
Only just so long for a man she promised to wait for. Then the years keep stretching out like a piece of old elastic, like anything that if you stretch it out too long, it'll snap. It'll break and sting your face. You know how it is. Will you get me some water, please? My mouth is dry. It's really dry. My...
Oh, sure. Here. Here's your water. Hey, what's wrong? Are you all right? No, you're not all right, are you?
Hi, Danny. You don't mind my busting in?
Of course you don't mind.
Get out of here, Jimmy. I got nothing for you.
The hands out in the press room are very stale, very one day old, Danny. From you, I want something fresh, something a shock, something a headline. Why don't you introduce me to this charming lady?
I told you to get out, Jimmy. Get on your hind legs and beg for news from somebody else.
Lady, Danny. Maybe the lady will be kinder. How do you do, lady? I'm Jimmy Ames, a reporter for... Well, the lady's dead, isn't she, Danny?
Yeah. Well, you got your news, reporter. Go report it. Well, how about it, Dr. Sinsky?
Danny Clover, welcome to the precincts of the autopsy room. We have here...
Don't sell me, and then give me the report on the woman who died in my office. What killed her?
Poison killed her.
What poison?
The pharmacological name would bore you. Delayed action type poison, taken internally, kills in 4 hours.
She probably didn't even know she was dying.
No more than any of us realize we always are.
Hi, Doc. Danny?
No.
You know, I always feel good that I can walk in here under my own power.
Hi, Tartaglia. What do you got?
Identification on Miss Jane Doe over there.
What name?
Mary Murdoch, late wife of one hoodlum known as Vic Murdoch. Vic Murdoch, Danny, that means something to you?
Yeah. Thanks, Tartaglia. It means a lot to me. It did. It meant a 20-year flashback to a different era, a different world, to a time of Tommy guns in violin cases and massacres, speedboats and limousines and booze watered and bonded in ratty cellars, a jazz era where gang wars had preferred position in the headlines, a world that gawked at a butchered man in a gutter, then rolled its stockings, pinched its spit curl, and chorused Vododio-do through a megaphone. It was before my time on the force. But it was that kind of a world when Vic Murdoch performed. Then Bick killed the man, and society wagged its finger, put him in a room, and locked the door. Now Bick was out. Now Bick was circulating. I had to find out where.
Hey, you bring it. You bring it.
Oh. It's Danny Clover, Benny. Mind if I come in?
In this crummy room? You want to come in here?
In here, Benny. How do you feel?
I could tell you. You wouldn't know what I meant. Sit down. Sit down, Danny. I better lay down.
You got coffee on the hot plate, Benny. You need some.
That don't jolt. But read it to me.
Sure. Here.
Why are you here, Danny?
Dick Murdoch, Benny.
Danny, you couldn't go away, come back. Someone's come.
He's not here yet. Talk to me about Dick.
It's only good for him. Stolen. Some guys' lives wind up that way. Stolen. The guys get to be priests and policemen.
Drink, Benny.
Bick, you said?
Uh-huh.
He's out. Come down from Sing Sing to the city.
I know that.
I seen him, too. He ain't changed. Some guys live 20 years between seeing him. And they change. Get old. Something happens to their faces. Not Bick. He's scary. Not Bick.
Where'd you see him?
He went to a place. To a place in an alley. To a hole in the alley wall.
Where?
On First Avenue. Near East 49th. The first alley. The first hole you come to on your right.
Thanks. Let's go to my place of business, Benny.
I've been there. It don't do no good.
Let's go, Benny. We'll try again. It took maybe an hour to bundle up Benny in his army surplus overcoat, to turn him over to the healers on Welfare Island, to leave him with the unshaped terror and the gray hunger in his eyes. Then to the first alley, the first hole on the right. An eye peeped out at you from a peephole. Splintered voice asked you who sent you. You told them, and a door was opened onto a world you thought was dead. The puppet-like women were dressed in the shapeless sacks that were fashionable for flappers in the 20s. The men they wore in their arms, pomaded and sleek as their patent leather pointed shoes, their double-breasted fawn color vests. They danced in quick, silent spasms to the music of the 20s. You shook your head because you didn't believe it.
Matter, copy? Ain't never saw a speakeasy before? A blind pig you never saw?
I don't believe it.
What's not to believe, bad boy?
Mind if I ask you a question? Why?
You mean why all this is like this?
Yeah.
Ask Bick. To this, even I, the waiter, don't have an answer. So ask Bick. Excuse me. Some Babbitt must be looking for a hot, jazzy time. All right, who sent you, Babbitt?
Danny Clover in there.
Yeah, he's here. What's that supposed to do to me?
It sends shivers up your spine, Gorilla. Open up.
Lousy flea.
Hey, it's Jimmy Ames. He's a reporter. Let him in.
Law says you can crawl in, Crumb.
Well, Danny, you... Hey, what is this? I haven't seen anything like this since Eddie Robinson and Little Caesar.
What are you doing here?
Following you? You going to talk to Bick Murdoch?
Yeah, but without you. Not a question, waiter.
Hmm?
Where's Bick?
In the office, down the end of the hallway. I'll go first so I can ask him, does he want to see you?
I'm a big boy now. I'll ask him myself. No, wait. Don't buzz him. I want to surprise him.
Danny, I'll go with you. Bick will remember me. I helped cut him to pieces 20 years ago.
Leave him alone. Get yourself some hooch, Jimmy. They tell me it's scraped right off the boat. Big story.
Who wants to see Bick Murdoch knocks on doors first and asks permission. This I've said many times.
You were too many years away from me to hear it, Bick.
A copper. I smell it from here. Not too close, Papa Vittorio. Maybe you heard, copper, how I don't like aces from the police, especially when I'm getting my hair cut.
Private barber's chair. Farewell gift from the boys at Sing Sing, Vic?
Aces with a loose mouth, especially I don't like. Papa Vittorio, I told you once. So use the scissors. You can clip a happy.
The waiter told me I should ask you a question, Vic. That Roaring 20s movie out there. Why?
The waiter told you to ask, so I'll answer you. Because 20 years ago, they put me in a cage. This made the world stop going around. What you see out there is how it was the world. I'm going to keep it that way until I catch up to 20 years. The 7,285 days you citizens cut out of me. Tell the waiter I answered your question.
I got another one. Your wife's death.
The boys told me about it. Shame. Mary was a good wife. They tell me. Your boys, copper. They find the key.
Key?
Key. Metal gadget that opens things. For 20 years, Mary's always carried it with her. If you found it, maybe it could open your eyes why a good wife like Mary should die.
I could make you tell me, Bick.
No, you couldn't, copper. Forget what I just said. Did I say something, Baba Vittorio? You see, I didn't say anything.
You're a nice special, huh,
Baba? Where I sleep.
And he did. He slept. The throwbacks were having themselves a snazzy Charleston, so I threw consternation into the house by sugarcoating through them and out the door. A key, the man said. A key that his wife had, the man said, and his lip twitched when he said it. I called headquarters, and the only key among the effects of Mary Murdoch fitted the new Nash she'd parked in back of the station. Headquarters gave me her address, too, so I went there, to a quiet apartment in the East 60s.
Yes?
I'm Danny Clover from the police.
Please come in.
Miss...
Susie Lane. I'm the maid here.
Miss Lane, did they tell you about Mrs. Murdoch?
Mrs. Murdoch? No. She wasn't home last night.
She's dead.
She was a kind woman. I'm sorry.
She died in my office this morning.
A strange woman, but kind.
Strange?
This apartment, for instance. She brought no one here. Received no mail here.
Men, friends?
They said goodnight downstairs.
I'm looking for a key, Miss Lane.
A key? What key?
I don't know, but I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it here.
Pardon me. Hello? Yes? It's for you, Mr. Clover.
Thanks. Danny Clover speaking.
Don't look for the key no more, Clover.
Who is this? Vic?
Yeah. I got advice for you. Don't look for the key no more. It could open up a lot of pain.
Changed your mind, haven't you?
If you haven't found it, don't look for it. If you found it, throw it away. Wait a minute. Guy I want to see just walked into the office.
Vic? Hello, Vic? Let's look for that key, Miss Lane. So we looked. Closets and desks, bureaus and cabinets. We looked there. And under mattresses and behind pictures and in jewel boxes. Nothing. No key. It went on for almost an hour. Then it got to be time to go back to the alley and take 20 years off my life.
Graham Badge, boy, the boss ain't having no more callers today.
Don't get conscientious. I'm an expected caller.
Boss ain't said a word about you. Show me your warrant.
Show you this.
Hey.
The message, waiter friend.
Hey, you can't go in there. Hey, the boss ain't gonna like it.
He'll like it. Murdoch, I was just telling your waiter... Murdoch.
Yeah, boss, his book, I'm busted in. Hey, the boss is sleeping like a babe in his... father chair. Hey, he ain't sleeping.
But he was. Dick was sleeping. The poets would say so. The poets would say something about the long black night and no stars. The black night that is forever. Because death is forever. But they'd have trouble. How do you write a sonnet on a 10-cent ice pick sticking in a man's heart? When it comes to starting off a new year, Broadway is sensible. It makes no promises to itself. It turns over no new leaves. That way it can grin over the current flock of killings and not make excuses for itself. A woman drops dead at police headquarters. That makes for a grade A grin. Her husband is murdered with an ice pick the same day. Broadway grins from ear to collective ear.
double feature, admission free, comedy of death, but sensational. And it goes on. The next morning, Broadway lines the curb, the funeral of Vic Murdoch, an oldie, a revival, but characters within the memory of dear old Dad. The procession was maybe a mile long, low-slung and black convertibles filled with flowers and mourners, and a brass band from Local 802. Maybe Vic enjoyed it. So many other people did. Like the man who tapped my shoulder.
A side, huh, Danny?
Jimmy Ames.
Quite a production, huh? 5-star.
Do funerals always make you this happy?
This one will get a headline for 3 editions. The way I write it, maybe even 4.
You've been stepping on my shadow, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. People die where Danny Clover goes. Hey, I haven't seen him since...
Seen who?
The guy in the pearl gray hat, the one in the procession.
I know it's not polite, but point.
Well, this car passing, you know who that is, or was he too long ago for you?
He doesn't register.
Joe Miami.
It surprises you. Make me surprised, too.
Joe Miami, Danny. Dick Murdoch's pally.
What's the pally doing now?
Being a brother to men, a fat, respectable citizen. Last year, the word reached the press room that Joe Miami was elected president of the PTA of Public School 62. The boys laughed for a half hour straight. Until we realized we'd suddenly aged 20 years.
Joe Miami, Jimmy, where do I find him?
Uptown, Danny. The Gotham Distributors. You can find him there, Danny.
Okay, kid, you got 4 loads, 600 cases. Distribution them. Take off like big winged bird.
Joe Miami?
It's me. Who are you?
Danny Clover.
Tell me no more who he is. I know.
Quite a business you got here, Joe.
They could distribute business, not bad. Makes me crummy fortune like old days. But now I pay tax, everything abide.
Someplace quiet where we can talk, huh, Joe?
This someplace I got. My business office. Walk with me, Danny Clover. I offer you something. Since Rails, Aspiralis.
Thanks, Joe, but first we talk about Vic, then pleasure.
Type dying, the big die, very tragedy, huh? Very classical. Ice pick, like old golden days.
You mean a mob killed him, eh?
Why mob? Pick wasn't hurting nobody. All he wanted was a long dream. The old days, like they were. He tried to buy them back. He get ice pick in the heart.
You were his number one boy, Joe. Why would anyone want to kill Vic?
Maybe somebody remember Vic supposed to have hideaway, 100 grand, before he go on a long visit to Sing Sing.
100 grand? Didn't Vic get it when he got out?
Joe Miami don't think so. If 100 grand is, maybe Vic left it where it was.
Where was that, Joe?
How would I know? I was only Vic's errand boy, not his wife.
You mean his wife Mary knew where it was? You mean maybe she had a key?
I don't know what I mean. I don't see Mary for 20 years. Vic don't like guys but to see Mary. Vic take care of Mary no matter what it's, even death. You sure they don't want no sarsaparillas?
Tell me about Mary.
Oh, she's a lovely, nice wife.
Tell me more.
Lovely, nice wife for 18, 19 years. But in 20th year, since Vic was away, Mary found maybe new love, a new guy.
Who was he?
Who was he? Why should I care? But a woman put these things down in little black diaries, doesn't it? This is very classical also.
Yeah. Thanks for everything, abiding Joe.
For what? You didn't touch drop sarsaparilla.
I had an idea I was getting someplace now, but my footing wasn't secure. Someplace back down the line, I'd walked too fast, skipped something. The matter of Mary Murdoch's mail company who said goodnight downstairs. Maids might know about that. Headquarters gave the address of Susie Lane, ex-maid of the late Mary Murdoch. The address of Susie Lane on 136th Street in Harlem. I went there, and the same man stepped on my shadow again.
Don't look worried, Danny. You know you can't lose me.
Be kind to newspaper guys, I always say. They write such wonderful bits.
Somebody going to die again, Danny?
No more.
Well, that could be news, too. I'll come along.
All right, but keep your hand over your mouth.
Sure. In here?
In here. Miss Lane.
Door's open a little. Let's go in.
Take your hand off the door. Miss Lane.
Come on, let's go in. Hey, Susie.
Hey, I told you not to...
Look at this place, Danny. Like a big wind lived and died here. A mess.
Yeah.
What have you got?
Blood. A pool of it on the rug.
Maybe you're batting 1,000 after all.
How'd you like to get battered right through that wall?
Yeah? Trouble, huh?
You add it up. You're a big newspaper man. Overturned furniture and a bloody rug. Look in the dinette, big newspaper man.
Sure. What am I looking for?
I don't know. Just look.
Nothing in there, Danny. I'll try this closet.
Yeah.
Danny.
Oh, no.
When I opened the closet door, she was staring at me. She fell. The door must have been holding her up. Poor Susie Lane. She's dead, huh?
No. Not quite dead.
Oh, I'm glad, Danny. I'm starting to worry about you.
Danny, it's me, Sergeant Gino Tartaglia.
Sorry, Tartaglia. I was just thinking. How's Susie Lane?
Well, that's what I came to tell you. Hospital reports she is still in her coma.
They're taking care of her?
Everything in their power, Danny, just like you told me. Dr. Sinsky says she'll pull through, though.
What kind of people do things like that, Tartaglia? Beat up a girl so she's neither dead or alive, just to keep her mouth shut. What kind of people?
Well, in our line of business, we meet them all, Danny.
Yeah, yeah. Tartaglia, do you get mail?
Huh? Well, sure I get mail, Danny. Bills, the secrets of happy marriage, circulars, postcards and vacations. Hey, why do you ask a question like that at a time like this?
Everybody gets mail, huh?
Well, sure, Danny, sure. What's the matter?
Why didn't Mary Murdoch get mail?
She didn't?
No.
I don't believe it.
She didn't, Tartaglia. I've been checking back. And suddenly I remember Susie Lane told me there was never any mail at Mary Murdoch's apartment.
Oh, that is indeed strange. A problem. Needs thinking.
Tartaglia, if you wanted to get mail and you didn't want Mrs. Tartaglia to know you were getting it...
Oh, I wouldn't think of such a thing, Danny. Mrs. Tartaglia would find out anyway.
You'd have it sent care of General Delivery, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, Danny, I would send the mail to someplace anonymous like General Delivery.
Oh, you're a genius, Tartaglia.
Ah, Danny, it hardly took no effort at all.
You can't shake me, Detective. Where are we going now?
Jimmy Ames. I've got big news for you.
Yeah? Like what?
Like maybe the last paragraph to your story. You want it, reporter?
You out of your mind? What do you mean, do I want it?
Ever peeked in mailboxes, reporter? Let's move, kid. Let's move.
What can I do for you, sir?
Is there any mail at General for Mrs. Mary Murdoch?
Mary Murdoch? Your husband?
He's a policeman. I'm a reporter.
You're a policeman, sir?
Yes. Here.
Well, of course. Well, just a minute. Here you are, sir.
Thanks. Yeah, not about mail, huh? Bill from Saks, one from Bunwood. Yeah.
Something, Danny?
Something. We'll open the envelope and see. See?
Key.
She must have mailed it to herself.
A key to what, Danny?
Says here, kid, on the tag, the Wall Street Bank. Let's take a flyer on Wall Street, huh, reporter?
Brownby says your credentials are in order, Mr. Clover. I'm to permit you access to Mrs. Murdoch's safety deposit box.
Oh, thank Mr. Brownby for me.
I'll open the gate. Step in, please. I'm sorry. Only one of you can come in. Only Mr. Clover.
Wait a minute, Danny. Don't louse me out of my story.
Okay, I'll vouch for Ames here. He's a reporter. It's his story.
Oh, you may go in then. I have the bank key, which we insert here. Then I take your key. That is Mrs. Murdoch.
We know, Mrs. Murdoch's key.
Exactly. I insert it here. And here it is, Mr. Clover.
Oh, thanks.
You may take it to that private cubicle to examine the contents. When you're through, just call me.
Yeah, I'll do that. Come on, Jimmy. I'll close the door.
Sure, Danny. All right, Danny. Open the box.
What?
The gun in your back. Does that surprise you, Danny?
Yeah. Frankly, yeah.
It shouldn't. A big cop like you with a big brain. Come on, Danny. Open the pretty box and hand me the $100,000.
Maybe you'll have to kill me to get it.
You think I won't? I've had practice. First Mary, then Bick. Third time's easier.
Susie, we won't count. She didn't die.
Clean cut, true blue fella like you.
Yeah, ain't I, though? A reporter has advantages, Danny. I knew all about that 100 grand all the time. Read it in an old newspaper morgue. I figure wife Mary Murdoch must know where it is, so I make love to her. But with all that love, she won't give me a little key. Funny woman.
So funny you murdered her, huh?
Yeah, like that. But then Bick gets on to our innocent little affair. The ice pick, the right way for a man like Bick to die, huh, Danny? It also leaves $100,000 all to myself. Open the box, Danny. No? All right, I'll open it myself.
How do you think I get out of here?
Oh, I figured that, Danny. Big man like you will make a big shield. Nah, no tricks, Danny. Just be a good boy and stay there in the corner. You can watch me open the box from there. $100,000. Let me take you out of that nasty old box.
It was a big noise and a big scream. It got inside of me and wouldn't quit, but it had substance. It hoisted me up in the stratosphere and then let me drop 1,000,000 miles. Simple thing, like a nun's cool fingertips brought me to. In a while, the hospital let me have visitors. The quiet talk about the death of Jimmy Ames. And at night, I slept my own sleep and dreamed of a fairy story, a Pandora's box. I had reason to. I knew all about a man named Dick Murdoch who planted $100,000 with a booby trap, just in case his wife was unfaithful. Just in case being away from him for 20 years would make her lonely. Broadway's rearing on its haunches now, and it's wearing its comedian's face. It'll reach out and tickle you under the chin and make clucking noises, or it'll bang you across the mouth and get hysterical. Either way, you get hurt. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat. Thank you.